Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he hath power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will have message number 21 of the Messages of Hope, and we'll have class number 6 related to Trust in Allah, Tawakkul. And the title of the class of today, inshallah, is Belief and Superstition. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about having trust in Allah, Tawakkul. Over the last week, we learned about the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that 70,000 Muslims will enter the paradise without any account or torment. They are those who don't make charms or ask others for charms, and they don't seek omens. Last week, we learned that horoscopes are forbidden in Islam. Today, inshallah, we will learn about superstition. And at the beginning, we will learn to this story so that we can be oriented about the topic of today, inshallah.
Okay. The broken mirror, the black cat, and long-sighted luck. Ahmed was an ordinary man. Nothing particularly good ever happened to him. Nothing particularly bad ever happened to him. He lived his life accepting the mixture of good things and bad things that happened to everyone. He never looked for any explanation or reason about why things happened just the way they did. One thing, however, that Ahmed absolutely did not believe in was superstition. He had no time for superstition, no time at all. Ahmed thought to himself to be a very rational man, a man who did not believe that his good luck or bad luck was in any way changed by black cats walking under ladders, spilling salt, or opening umbrellas inside the house. Ahmed spent much of his time in the small town near where he lived. In the town, he sat drinking coffee and talking to his friends. Sometimes his friends played dice or cards. Sometimes they played for money. Some of them made bets on horse races or football matches. But Ahmed never did. He didn't know much about sports, so he didn't think he could predict the winners. And he absolutely didn't believe in chance or luck or superstition, like a lot of his friends did. One morning, Ahmed woke up and walked into the bathroom. He started to shave, as he did every morning. But as he shaved, he noticed that the mirror on the bathroom wall wasn't quite straight. He tried to move it to one side to make it straighter. But as soon as he touched it, the mirror fell off the wall and hit the floor with a huge crash. It broke into 1,000 pieces. Ahmed knew that some people thought this was unlucky. 7 years bad luck, they said, when a mirror broke. But Ahmed wasn't superstitious. Ahmed wasn't superstitious at all. He didn't care. He thought superstition was nonsense. He picked up the pieces of the mirror, put them in the bin, and finished shaving without a mirror. After that, he went into the kitchen to make himself a sandwich to take to work for his lunch. He cut 2 pieces of bread and put some cheese on them. Then he thought he needed some salt. When he picked up the salt jar, it fell from his hand and broke on the floor. Salt was everywhere. Some people he knew thought this was also bad luck. But Ahmed didn't care. He didn't believe in superstitions. He left the house and went to work. On his way to work, he saw a black cat running away from him. He didn't care. He wasn't superstitious. Some builders were working on the house on his street. There was a ladder across the pavement. Ahmed thought about walking around the ladder, but he didn't care. He wasn't superstitious and didn't believe in superstition. So he walked right underneath the ladder. Even though Ahmed wasn't superstitious, He thought that something bad was certain to happen to him today. He had broken a mirror, spilled some salt, walked underneath the ladder, and seen a black cat running away from him. He told everyone at work what had happened. "Something bad will happen to you today," they all said, but nothing had happened to him. That evening, as usual, he went to town. He told all his friends in the town that he had broken a mirror, spilled the salt, seen a black cat running away from him, and then walked under a ladder. All his friends in the town moved away from him. "Something bad will happen to him," they all said, "and we don't want to be near him when it happens." But nothing bad happened to Ahmed all evening. He sat there as normal, and everything was normal. Ahmed was waiting for something bad to happen to him, but it didn't. "Ahmed, come and play cards with us," joked one of his friends. "I'm sure to win." Ahmed didn't usually play cards, but tonight he decided to. His friends put a large amount of money on the table. His friend thought that Ahmed was going to lose. Ahmed thought he was going to lose, but it didn't happen like that. Ahmed won, and then he played another game, and he won that game too. Then someone asked him to play a game of dice, and he won that as well. He won quite a lot of money. "Go on," then Ahmed, his friend, shouted. "Use all the money you have to win. Use all the money you have won to buy some lottery tickets." Ahmed spent all the money he had on lottery tickets. The draw for the lottery was the next day. The next day after work, Ahmed went to the town again. Everybody was watching the draw for the lottery on TV. The first number came out for the third prize. It was Ahmed's number. Then the second number for the second prize. It was another of Ahmed's tickets. Then the first prize. It was Ahmed's number as well. He won all three of the big lottery prizes. It was incredible. It seemed that all things that people thought caused bad luck usually actually brought him good luck. The next day, Ahmed brought a book about superstitions from all over the world. When he had read the book, he decided to do everything that would bring him bad luck. He left empty bottles on the table. He asked his wife to cut his hair for him. He accepted a box of knives as a gift. He slept with his feet pointing toward the door. He sat on the corner of the tables. He put a candle in front of the mirror. He always left his hat on the bed. He always left his wallet on the bed. He bought things in numbers of 6 or 13. He crossed people on the stairs. He got on a boat and whistled. And with everything he did, he got luckier and luckier. He won the lottery ticket. He won the games of the dice in the town every evening. The things got crazier and crazier. He bought a black cat as a pet. He broke a few more mirrors on purpose. He didn't look at people in the eye when they raised their glasses to him. He put loaves of bread upside down on the table. He spilled salt. He spilled olive oil. The more superstitious things he did, the luckier he became. He went to the town and started to tell all his friends what he thought. "You see," he told them, "I was right all along." Superstition is nonsense. The more things I do to break ridiculous superstitions, the more lucky I am. But Ahmed replied to one of his friends, "Don't you see you are actually as superstitious as well as we are? You are so careful to break superstitions, and these things bring you luck. But you are only lucky when you do these things. Your disbelief is actually a kind of belief." Ahmed thought about what his friend said. He said he had to admit that it was true. He was careful to break all the superstitions he could, that in some way he was actually observing those superstitions. The next day he stopped spilling salt, chasing away black cats, walking up ladders, putting up umbrellas in the house, and breaking mirrors. He also stopped winning money on the lottery. He started to lose at games of card and dice. He was a normal man again. Sometimes he was lucky, sometimes he wasn't. He did not believe in superstitions anymore, but he didn't believe in them either. Ahmed said his friend, I'm sorry. Ahmed said this. And it was your belief that made you lucky. It was your self-confidence that helped you, not superstitions. Ahmed listened to his friend and thought that he was right, that however rational he still believed himself to be, he always wondered what would have happened broken the mirror.
Thank you very much. So you see, sister, this story is clarifying how most of the people are thinking, you know, or are believing in superstition. We will continue with this story. Also, the president of an American company informs his anxious employees that they are about to get a big contract that will ensure jobs for coming years. Then he adds, knock on the wood. If things are more uncertain, he will say, keep your fingers crossed. Keeping fingers crossed is expected to ward off evil. Knocking on wood is meant to bring good luck by enlisting the support of spirits who, according to ancient stories, lived in the trees. There are U.S. Air Force crews who insist on touching or knocking the trees before taking off. The fear of number 13 is so widespread in the U.S., Europe, and in our countries. American presidents Herbert Hoover and Franklin Roosevelt avoided eating at tables where 13 people were present. There is no air flight number 13. There is no seat in the aeroplane number 13. There is no room number in any hospital number 13. Yes, there is no floor number at any high-rise number 13. It is 12 and then 14. They all avoid number 13. The fear costs America more than $1 billion a year in travel cancellations and drop in the trade on the 13th of the month. Of course, it is the horror of the horrors, that is to say, the worst of the worst, if the 13th of the month were fall on a Friday. This has a Christian root. 13 is reported to be the number of the people who sat at the Last Supper on the night Judas betrayed Jesus, and it was a Friday. This is the last supper, okay? And the one who betrayed Jesus, his number was 13. And that happened on Friday. So the worst of the worst is number 13 of the month is a Friday. Okay? Other forms of superstition: to avoid the path of a black cat, to avoid to pass underneath an open ladder, to avoid breaking a mirror as it caused bad luck for 7 years. Avoid putting a candle in front of the mirror. Actually, in our countries, I grew up with these ideas in Egypt. Okay, yes, my mother and my grandmother, they always warn us, especially against the mirrors. You know, when once I was about to buy a mirror, my grandmother told me, if you will not take care of that mirror, and if it will be broken, you will have bad luck for 7 years. And I don't know what is the root of this, you know, actually warning. And to tell you the truth, this was in the back of my mind all the time, to avoid the mirrors, you know, and also the black cat. You know, so this is what is going on in reality in our life. Most of the people believe in this. Okay, but I was not aware that people in America and in Europe also, they believe in this. Okay, so now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let us know about Islam. And what I mentioned now is what is going on nowadays. Okay, in America, in Europe, and in our countries. Let us know about the Arabs before Islam and their relation to superstition. Superstition constituted an integral part of the belief system of the Arabs before Islam. For example, they would not undertake a journey or do anything important without just determining that it would be safe to do so. So they will never have any decision except when they are sure that it will be safe for them. How? By looking at birds. Okay? If the bird, how they will do this, I want to clarify to you this because this is very important for you to know exactly how the people before Islam, they use the birds, because actually this is the word which is related to superstition in the Arabic language, which is at-tatayur, to use the birds to know the future, okay, and to use the birds to have a decision. Okay, what they were doing, I will clarify to you now. They will go to the nest of the birds and they will stimulate the birds to fly. If the bird, the first one, will fly from the right side, this means that the decision is correct and they will go ahead and have the journey, or they will go ahead and marry or whatever. The most important is the direction of the bird, how the bird fly, okay? And if the bird will fly towards the left side, this is an indication that, you know, the decision is wrong. So they will hold on. They will not travel, they will not do the work, they will not marry, they will not do anything, okay? So during travel, if a deer crossed going from right to left, the trip was cancelled. Okay? Yes, immediately. there is no way. Okay? In conclusion, through superstition, they were trying by all the means to avoid any harm regarding the future. Now, let us learn about Islam and superstition and Islam and the point of view regarding using the birds to know the future. We will read now from Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, verse number 79, in order to be sure that superstition is forbidden in Islam because it is against the belief in the oneness of Allah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الرحمن الرحيم ألم يروا إلى الطير مسخرات في جو السماء ما يمسكهن إلا الله إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يؤمنون. Do they not see the birds held in the midst of the sky? None holds them but Allah. Verily, in this are clear proofs and signs for people who believe in the oneness of Allah. Actually, we must believe that Allah is in command of birds as well as of all the creation. Allah is the one who decides where birds fly or roost. The flight of the birds is not dependent upon where good luck or bad luck resides. Any superstitious belief or practice that claim to change human destiny by the help of a being or an object other than Allah is absolutely forbidden and rejected in Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought against superstitions in almost all of his actions. During the period of ignorance before Islam, the Arabs used to interpret the course of future events from names, sounds, or the direction in which birds were flying. All of these were prohibited by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As when he was asked about superstitious beliefs, he said it should not prevent a Muslim from going ahead with his plans. If any of you see something that he dislikes, let him say, O Allah, no one brings good things but you, and no one wards off bad things but you, and there is no power or strength except with you. So now, sisters, I think it is clear that superstitious is forbidden in Islam, but inshallah I will clarify to you more and more about superstition, let us first read about the verses of the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the superstition, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered those whom they believe in the superstition from the verses of the Quran. We will read now in Surah number 7, Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 131, because Allah the Almighty was the one who clarified why superstition is forbidden in Islam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Surah number 7 verse number 130 and 131 وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَطَّيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَن مَّعَهُ أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِندَ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ.
And indeed we punished the people of Pharaoh with years of drought and shortness of fruits, crops, and that they might remember, take heed. But whenever good came to them, they said, ours is this. And if evil afflicted them, they ascribed it to evil omens connected with Moses and those with him. Be informed. Verily, their evil omens are with Allah, but most of them know not.
Okay. Now I will clarify to you, sisters, about this. Okay, so that you realize how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in the Quran that superstition is forbidden because it is against the belief in the oneness of Allah. Actually, what we read now from the Quran is the interpretation of Pharaoh and his people. Pharaoh was the king in Egypt, okay? What they believe in is that good fortune was their due and it came to them because they deserve it. While affliction was the ill omen Moses and his people brought about. Allah is responding to their false statement saying, surely whatever befalls them has been decreed by Allah, though most of them don't know it. This message means that whatever happens to human being has the same source because it is decreed by Allah. It is to this source, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our trial with hardship is attributed, as well as our trial with ease is attributed. As Allah mentioned in Surah number 21, verse number 35, this is what I need to clarify to you, sisters, so that we can evaluate the events of our life in a correct way. Now we will read from Surah number 21, verse number 35, to know about what is the difference between the trial of affliction and the trial with ease. Surah number 21, verse number 35. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. كل نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون.
Everyone is going to taste death, and we shall make a trial of you with evil and with good, and to us will you be returned.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying his sister, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah number 35. Allah is clarifying that we shall make a trial of you with evil and with good. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this that we must believe that evil and good, both of them are trials. Okay, it is not only the evil is a trial. Okay, this is a very important Quranic rule which we Muslims must realize. Okay, evil is a trial and good is also a trial. Okay, this is number one. Number two, they are both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the trial of evil and the trial of good, both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both are part of the test of the worldly life and none can interfere with Allah's decrees. Okay, none can say that the planet or the star or the broken mirror is the cause of my trial with the evil. Okay, what is the meaning of this, sister? I need to clarify to you this. Okay, Allah is clarifying that regarding trials, okay, good events are trials. And evil or difficult or afflictions are trials. Okay, both of them are trials. Okay, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a good event in your life, okay, don't forget, it is a trial. How a good event can be a trial? It can be a trial because most of the people, when they have good events, they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? If you tell me, Sister Mona, give me an example, I will tell you the example is that most of the immigrants, Muslim, whom they come to America, at the beginning, like me, when they come, they are young, they are not highly educated, they don't have enough money, they are humble. When they reach America, they come to the mosque, they are in relation, you know, with the Muslim people, they pray, they fast, they are, alhamdulillah, looking for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they become more educated and when they have more wealth, okay, they start to feel that, you know, it is not good now to go to the masjid, to sit on the floor and to have all your friends from those people whom they are not much educated in the masjid, you know, and also my clothes now are very expensive, so I cannot go and sit on the floor and all of this. No problem, you know, I will just, you know, try to know about Islam from the television and all, or from the internet. I will not go to the masjid anymore or communicate with those poor Muslims, mostly whom they are attending the masjid. I was in communication with them when I just come, when I was not still in my position and my prestige. Now, according to my prestige, it is better to have different friends. Those whom they are working with me in my career, you know, those whom they are, I have to be, you know, in contact with those whom they are from my level. Okay, but most of the people whom they are from your level are not praying, mostly not fasting, they are drinking, no problem. I will be still a very good person, but I can't anymore communicate with those people whom I knew 5 years or 10 years ago when I come to America. This is the trial with the good. What happens to that person? That person, at the beginning, he was close to Allah and he was humble and he cared for his responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And after having the good event in his life, okay, that he become more wealthy, more prestigious, he has everything of the worldly life, he forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the worst trial in the worldly life. You see? From outside, when most of the people will look to that person, they will say, oh, wow, lucky. Mercedes mentioned going to Europe every year, excellent, best clothes, everything. Oh, there is no trial at all. In reality, this was the worst trial in the life of that person. It would be more better for him if he will stay in his country or if he will stay, you know, humble, close to Allah. Life will finish. Okay? And when it finished with this one will be far away from the mercy of Allah in this worldly life. In spite of the fact he has all the materialistic issues, but in the heart, there is no, the mercy of Allah is not there. Kids are there, but they are not good. Wealth is there, but he is not enjoying the wealth because he is worried all the time about the bank account, my home, my car, my prestige, everything. Okay? So there is no happiness. So in this worldly life, he will never feel the real happiness. And in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question that person about the good
trial in his life. If he knows that verse of the Quran, that trials can be good and can be evil, okay, he was supposed to be very careful. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test him with the good, okay, he is not supposed to follow most of the ignorant Muslims whom they are under the impression that the best thing in this worldly life is that Allah will give me big amount of wealth. If Allah will give me big amount of wealth, this is the best in the worldly life. No, this is not the best in the worldly life. The best in the worldly life is to have Allah in your life. Because this is his life. He can give you wealth, and with the wealth he can give you very bad kids, very bad health, very bad manners, as it happens to that person. He lost his relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't evaluate the good and the bad, okay, according to the materialistic evaluations of the human being. Good and evil is related to your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be aware that there are good trials in the worldly life. Okay? Most of the people, they fail when they have these good trials. They always forget about Allah.
Yes.
Most of them.
When you show the trials,
yes,
the bad and the good, and I was just like thinking, oh, I want the good one, you know.
Yes.
But when you see the responsibility and how distracted can be from that,
yes,
you like almost wish the bad or the,
yes,
you know, the trials.
Yes,
it's worse than the bad.
Yes, this is what I want to clarify, you know, that the good, yes,
yeah,
the good trial is worse than the bad. Why? You know, because when you have this affliction, you always run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you remember Allah. You pray more. You are under the belief that because maybe I was not so religious, I was not so good with Allah, Allah is sending to me these trials, you know, these afflictions and disasters. So I have to become closer. I have to try my best. Let me be having more good manners. So always during these afflictions, okay, people become more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But not always, because some people get angry,
yes,
at that.
Yes,
so what,
yes,
happens to that?
Yes, I will tell you also, you know, Romelia, this is correct. Some of the people, okay, they got so upset with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, why I am the one to lose my wealth? Oh Allah, why I am the one not to marry? Oh Allah, why I am the one to have handicapped child? Okay, some people. But again and again, sister, this is related.
This is to the knowledge, right?
Yes, this is related that most of the Muslims, they don't understand the basics of Islam. Life is a test. Test, what is the test? Any test equals two questions. Questions can be very difficult or, you know, a little bit difficult or easy. This is the worldly life. Sometimes you will have trials with the good. Okay, see, this is the simple question, supposed, you know, for the believer sometimes. And everyone must have very difficult questions in her life and his life. Why? Because Allah is fair. If he will expose me to very difficult hardship, he must expose Janet in a different way, Romelia in a different way. But everyone must have these disasters up to what you can tolerate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never put a burden on a human being more than what he tolerates. For example, I can have the trial in myself. I can be sick, I can be ill, I can lose my work, but I cannot tolerate the trial if it is related to my kids. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all the trials in Mona's life in Mona, not in her kids. Other sisters, she can tolerate the trial in her kids, but she cannot tolerate it in herself. Allah will make the trial in her kids. Other sisters, she can tolerate the trial in her husband, in the health, in the wealth. Everyone, when Allah creates us, He knows what are the limitations of everyone. And when Allah is testing us and exposing us to trials, it is all what we can tolerate. Okay, so again and again, sisters, you must believe that good events are trials, afflictions are trials, okay, life is a test, So I am not supposed to say that when I meet, for example, sister so-and-so in the morning, okay, I will have bad luck today and something bad will happen to me. Who is the one to evaluate the bad and the good? From your point of view, it is bad. In reality, maybe it is good. None can know what is good and what is bad because you don't know the future. For example, I will give you another story because this issue is very complicated, but when you understand it, you can sit down now. This was, I will give you now an example, okay, of the trials, okay, which we evaluated wrong. Now I clarified to you about the good events. For example, the affliction. Okay, suppose that my daughter is in the high school in the final year, and she studied day and night to have, you know, the best grades. On the night of the SAT exam, we have a fire in our kitchen. Okay, a very big one. And my daughter was suffocated, and she was sent to the hospital, and she can't appear in the exam in the next day. She lost all her studying, all her effort, all her time. Okay, everyone passed the exam, everyone will be in the college next year except my daughter. Why? Because it happened that that disaster happened especially on the night of the exam. Okay? If I am a true believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will say all praise to Allah. Okay? Someone will come and tell me, Sister Mona, you are saying all praise to Allah while your daughter lost the opportunity to be in the college and she will be again repeating the 12 year and she is in a big problem now, I will tell her, yes, sister, I am so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She will tell me how? I will tell her because I don't know the future. Maybe if my daughter, if we will not have this affliction the night of the exam, next day while we are driving to the school, we will have a big car accident, then my daughter will be blind. The whole life, what is better? To lose 1 year studying or to become blind the rest of her life, what is better? Okay? So as a true believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must admit that we don't know the future. If I don't know the future, how I will evaluate what is good and what is bad? I am not supposed to evaluate anything. I am supposed to say this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make for him an outlet from directions which he never expects. Okay? So long I am a believer in his oneness, so long I fear him, so long I obey him, whatever happens in my life is the best. Then you tell me, Sister Mona, but it is a disaster after a disaster, this is the best. I tell you, yes, sister, 100% I am sure Allah knows the best. Allah chooses the best for the believer. To be patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a big reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah will reward those whom they are patient with His decree with unlimited reward. If you believe that the worldly life is a short test, and the most important for the believers is the paradise, okay, I will not be looking for a life in the worldly life where I am mostly not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to live the fun of the worldly life, okay, while I am sure that I will never enter the paradise because I didn't do any good deed. What is more better? What is, sister, the most important in the worldly life is to feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one taking care of you all the time. I am not alone. I have problems, I have afflictions, I have illness, I have everything, but I am never alone. I have Him with me, the power, the will, the mercy. So Sister Mona, if you have Allah, why Allah is all the time sending for you afflictions and troubles? I will tell, because sister, Allah knows the best for me. Maybe if I am so healthy and I am so happy, I will forget about Him. And I will be like most of the Muslims outside. trying to deceive themselves by believing that worldly life is the fun. Where is the fun? I never see the fun or live the fun in reality. Okay? The most important, sisters, is your spirit. Your spirit will feel the security, calmness, peace, when you feel that I have Allah with me. Even in the midst of any trouble, Allah will save me. Allah will make for me an outlet. Allah will reward me. Allah will take care of me. This is the most important in life. Whether it is an affliction, whether it is a good event, because I don't know the true interpretation of the events of my life. Okay? When Allah gave me the wealth, I forget about Him. So it was not a good event. When Allah make us to have a fire the night of the exam, from outside it is a very bad event. In reality, it was the best event for the life of my daughter. She was saved from being blind all the rest of her life. So sister, this is the reality of the worldly life. If I believe that we don't know anything and Allah is the one who knows everything, how I will be trying to avoid the harm while I am not sure it is in reality a harm or a benefit? This is how the true believer has to evaluate her life. Then when someone will come and tell me, Sister Mona, I will tell you to do so and so and so to avoid the harm, I will tell her, Sister, are you sure that this is harm? She will tell me yes. I will tell her, I am very sorry, you are ignorant. Nobody knows what is the real harm and what is the real benefit. It is only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't give me advice about how to live away from Allah. Number 13, the mirror, the cat, all of this, what is this? These are only objects. No power, no will, nothing. Just dust. Even all the human beings on the earth, none can give me benefit, none can prevent the harm, because no one knows the real harm or the benefit except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you know, sister, this is the most important. The most important is the true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that inshallah, you know, when you come and tell me, Sister Mona, be very happy today, mashallah, your husband got a very big job, okay, and you will be living inshallah in New York the rest of your life, I tell you, sister, excuse me, I don't know it is good or it is bad. So I will be, inshallah, thankful to Allah for everything. But don't tell me it is good, because nobody knows what is good or what is bad. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will accept it. And because of that, sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two verses in surah number 57, which every believer in Allah must realize these two verses, the meaning, so that you will not be so upset when Allah will test you with an affliction, and you will not be so happy when Allah will give you good news about something, because we don't know the reality of the harm and the benefit in our life. We will read these two verses of the Quran, sisters, because this is the most important, you know, for the believers to have the clear vision about the reality of the events of the worldly life, so that we will forget completely about horoscopes, about superstitions, about some of the dreams, which will be the class of next week, inshallah, because nobody knows, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, about the good and the evil. We will read now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 22, verse number 23, from surah number 57, Surah Al-Hadid. So verse number 22 and verse number 23, so that inshallah we will be always having trust only in Allah. Nothing other than Allah, I can have a trust in Him. And also I will never evaluate any event in my life, it is evil or it is good, because I don't know the future. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. شيطان الرجيم ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but it is inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring it into existence. Verily, that is easy for Allah. In order that you may not grieve at the things that you fail to get, nor rejoice over that which has been given to you, and Allah likes not prideful boasters.
Okay, so you know, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that everything is already inscribed in the book of the decree, okay, 50,000 years before the creation of the earth. You see, sisters? So, if you believe that everything, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it's clarified, okay, so you will be all the time believing that I can't escape my decree, because it is already written, okay, and I will tell you the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is clarifying this, okay, but I have to continue with the meaning of the second verse, which is 23, in order that you may not grieve at any things, at the things over that you fail to get, nor rejoice over that which has been given to you. Okay, because I don't know what is good, what is bad. I will never be upset, you know, because, for example, I was a vegetarian. I was supposed to work and to earn money, and all of this Allah didn't allow me. I will never be upset for this, because, number one, this is already written 50,000 years before the creation of the earth. So there is no way to change it. Mona, you will not be a vegetarian on that day, for example, 1989 at 5 p.m. at night. That's it. Oh Allah, I cannot work more than three months more, 1 day more, 1 minute more. No. On that day, when you left the hospital at 5 p.m., unfortunately for you, it was the last day for you to work as a pediatrician. That's it. You like it? Very good. You don't like it? It will be your problem, because it will never change, and you will show to Allah that I am not happy with your decree, and you will be away from Allah gradually, and nothing will happen except what Allah decreed, and you are showing to Allah that you are not happy with Him. This deserves the punishment of Allah. You will have another problem. You will have depression. At the beginning, it was only that you lose the job. If you accept it, alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. Allah will make for you an outlet. But you don't accept it, okay? Next step, you will have depression. You don't accept it more, your kids will start to have problems because you are not taking care of them. You are crying day and night because you are not happy with Allah. Okay, problem after problem after problem. Why? Because you don't believe that no one can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is number one. Okay, sisters? Number two, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When you accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sister, you have to prove to Allah that, oh Allah, I don't know what is good for me. Okay, for example, again, it is my situation. On that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that no more practice of medicine, okay, what happened to me is that for 6 months I was upset. I don't understand why I am the only one. The hospital is full of pediatricians, but it happens only to me. After 20 years, now I am in America, calling to Allah, having a website, all praise to Allah. Now I realized that on that 5 p.m. 1989, it was the best event in my life. I realized it after 20 years. On that night, I was crying and saying, oh Allah, this is the worst event in my life. You see? So So we don't know, and because of that Allah is saying, don't grieve at things over that you fail to get, and nor rejoice over that which you have given to you. Why? Because you cannot change anything, and you don't know. You don't know what is good and what is bad. So just accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you accept it, you will have trust in Him. So you tell me, Sister Mona, what will happen now? You are at home, for example, and you are not earning, and maybe one day you will need. And I tell her, Sister, for the sake of Allah, have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the owner of everything. Allah is the planner of everything. Allah is the decider of everything. Allah said in the Quran that He will be the one to provide us. He will be the one to cure us. He will be the one to shower us with mercy. Only Allah. So have trust in Him. Very simple. Otherwise, you are not a true believer. That's it. You know, this is the reality of Islam. Believe in Allah. And sister, this is the mercy of the belief in the oneness of Allah. Only Allah has everything and can do everything. And I am His slave. And I trust Allah 100%. Then I forget about all the issues. When you tell me you are not thinking and you are not worried, you don't have the fear in your heart, I tell you, never. Maybe I am sad sometimes because I am a human being, weak. But fear and worry, for what? I cannot do anything. None can do anything. None can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important is that I can be close to Allah all the time, doing supplication to Him, asking Him to shower me with His mercy during the affliction and during the good events. Never to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can I believe in superstition? A cat can change the decree which is written 50,000 years before the creation of earth, or a mirror, or number 13, or this nonsense which the people are spending millions and billions of dollars, because none has the time to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is under the materialistic issues of the worldly life. Now I will give you another example of the Quran to clarify to you how the people, when they are not believing in the oneness of Allah, they will even blame Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the bad events in their life. Okay, we will read now from Surah number 4, verse number 78, to realize how the superstition was part of the belief in the people before Islam and at the beginning of the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah number 4, verse number 78. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. 78. Bismillahir Rahman. Surah number 4, verse number 78. 78. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة وإن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله وإن تصبهم سيئة يقولوا هذه من عندك قل كل من عند الله فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wheresoever you may be, death will overtake you, even if you are in fortresses built up strong and high. And if some good reaches them, they say, this is from Allah. But if some evil befalls them, they say, this is from you, O Muhammad. Say, all things are from Allah. So what is wrong with these people that they fail to understand any word? Okay. Whatever of good reaches you is from Allah, but whatever evil befalls you is from yourself. And we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a messenger to mankind, and Allah is sufficient as a witness.
So now, sisters, actually, this is a form of superstition, as the people of Mecca considered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
this is the disbelievers, considered him the cause of hardship and misfortune. Whenever they suffered a hardship, for example, bad harvest, they would attribute the causes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they attributed good fortune to Allah. To answer those people, Allah, we must be clarify the following. Allah, the Almighty, is the original and sole cause of world events affecting the universe and the mankind. And He is the cause of people's actions. People have the power only to intend and to try, but actions take place only with the will of Allah. Sister, this is very important. Okay, for example, I have the intention today, inshallah, to have a class on Saturday. I have the intention and I prepare everything. Okay, this is I can do. But to come and to have the class as an action, this is up to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None can have an action on the earth except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You will never have a will except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we human beings are intentions and trials, not actions. The actions are only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, Allah first hadith in all the books of the hadith is actions are but by intentions. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will evaluate us according to our intentions, not to our actions, because actions are up to Allah. We human beings are intentions and trial. I have very good intention and I tried my best, for example, to do that deed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it to be an action. So Allah cancelled my action. But Allah will reward me for my intention and my trial, because actions are but by intentions. Okay, this is the importance of the intentions, number one. This is the importance of realizing that actions are only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a cat can change, a mirror can change, number 13 can change, horoscopes can change, dreams, if they are not the good ones, can change. They can never change anything related to the life, the future, and the actions, because it is only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to that verse of the Quran, to ascribe Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the cause of the misfortunate, okay, this is a sign of complete ignorance. In reality, humans may wish and seek by all means Allah has put at their disposal. But the achievement of such wishes only takes place by Allah's will. This must be clear, sister, that goodness and good fortune are acts of the divine will brought about through human means and inclinations. Evil or misfortune, it is Allah's will and power that make them to happen through humans' means and inclination. This is the Quranic rule related to Allah is the ultimate origin of all that happens on the earth. So in conclusion, sisters, belief in superstitions is considered to be an act of disbelief as ascribing partners to Allah, which is the one and the only one sin that Allah will never forgive. Okay, this is the only sin which Allah never forgive, to ascribe partners, the mirror and the cat, number 13, the horoscopes, to ascribe those as partners to Allah. Okay, this Allah will never forgive. Okay, we must believe that nothing in this life has the power or the will except the power and the will of Allah. So we must put all our trust in Him regarding all matters of our life in the present and the future. And we must also believe that none knows the future except Allah, and none can prevent the harm or bring the benefit except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah we will continue to learn more and more about causes of superstition and about the treatment of superstition in next class, inshallah. Listen to a story from